Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. Today is Monday, October 1st, 2007, and boy, does a lot go on in a week. So I'm going to start with a little travel story. I always start with light news, as you know, and we'll get into the heavy stuff a little slower. So the Washington Post had an article in today's paper. And I love the headline, "Now arriving at Carousel 1, far fewer of your bags." Well, I just came back from Toronto late last night, and I carried my bags on. Now, sometimes I'm gone long enough that I need to check a bag. In fact, often I am, but I'm being cured of that, and I'm packing lighter. 2 weeks ago, I went to Las Vegas for a conference, and I checked my bag, and when I got to Las Vegas, it didn't make it. In fact, it didn't make it in that night. The next day, they brought it to my hotel. Well, that's just really inconvenient, and I'm not going to sit here and just whine about my bag, but that's just an example of what this report in the Post today talked about. It turns out that the amount of baggage mishandled by U.S. Airlines has nearly doubled in the last 5 years. And the Washington Post, with a complete story, as it almost always has, runs down the total number of reports for July of 2007 of mishandled bags. And they listed by airlines, and not just total number of reports, because obviously the airline that does the most business, like Southwest, American, U.S. Airways, Delta, are going to have more lost bags. That's just natural. But then they rank them by per 1,000 passengers, and they tell you who is the best and who is the worst. And the worst airlines are Atlantic, Southeast, American Eagle, and Comair. I thought that was an airline that had, hard-bitten prisoners on it or something. No, that was the movie Comair. And the three best were Southwest Airlines, United Airlines, and AirTran. Now, mine was Southwest that lost my bag in Vegas, and while I was there, I had a couple people say to me, when I told them I didn't have my bag, and that's why I was wearing the clothes I was wearing, they said, "Oh, Southwest loses bags all the time." And it's interesting that when I mentioned Southwest, that it got a reputation, according to those people. So I'm thinking, oh, so Southwest isn't that good. Well, here's the proof that Southwest is actually, out of 18 airlines, they're the third best, which is pretty darn good. So, not going to make a big deal out of this, except to say that they're misplacing more bags. And I'll just tell you, the thing I hate the most about the way baggage is currently being handled in this age of terror is that they don't let you lock your bag anymore, so people can rifle through it. I've had my bag show up at the baggage collection area, and when I opened it up in my hotel room, somebody has taken my neatly folded dress shirts and dress pants and sometimes sports coats and just stuffed it back in. So then you have to iron everything. I had it packed in a way that it wouldn't need much ironing. And of course, you never know if you're going to lose anything, so you can't put anything valuable in it anymore since you can't lock it. So once again, the terrorists have won. Let me move on to something else that was in the news. Have you ever seen Billy Blanks on TV? Billy started Tybo, these high-energy or high-impact workouts. And, of course, it's a combination of, I guess I'd say, karate moves and aerobic exercise. And people originally started doing this, and it was a big fad, as fitness tends to be. And then people discovered that there were significantly more injuries with Billy Blanks' method than with other people's, because this Tybo requires some real thrusting of your arms and legs, like in karate type moves. And so I know people who were very big on Taibo in the beginning and then stopped doing it as the reports of injuries came in. Well, Billy Blanks has a new approach. He has what he now calls his, what is his series called? Taibo Total Body Fitness System. Now, it turns out that he is now a big fat star in Japan, of all places, where there aren't anywhere near as many fat people as we have here, or out of shape people as we have here. He bills himself as Commander Billy over there, and a poll says that 70% of the people in Japan know who he is and what he does at his boot camp. It's an imaginary boot camp, of course. And he charges $132 for his Billy's Boot Camp video series. You get four DVDs and a few other things. And he's sold over 1 million of those. Not just in Japan, all over the place. I don't think it's just in Japan. But it's interesting that he is on tour in Japan right now and making a bundle over there. What's interesting about these fitness guru types, I mean, I'm all for fitness, but they all go on to something different. I was flipping the channels late one night. I think it was early Sunday morning in my hotel room looking for some news in Toronto. And who comes on but fitness, what do they call these people? Fitness celebrity. John Bastow is the guy I'm thinking of, bills himself as a fitness celebrity. But this was Tony, who's the big muscular guy with the big long ponytail? Tony, I'll think of his last name soon. I've seen him in three generations of infomercials. Now, I don't want you to get the idea I'm watching infomercials all the time. I do have a life. And part of it's monitoring television content because I'm a communications researcher, you know. But I remember Tony Little, that's his name. I remember the first time I saw Tony Little. He was doing sit-ups on an infomercial, and he had his knees up halfway and his feet on the floor, and someone, I think, holding his feet, or he had a piece of equipment holding his feet down. And what he talked about was technique. It's all about technique. That's what separates my system from everyone else's system. You've got to have the right technique. People do crunches by the thousands, and it doesn't do them any good because they're using the wrong technique. And he was basing the CDs he was selling or whatever else he was selling on the fact that he had the right technique and everyone else had the wrong technique. Well, then the second thing he came along with was Tony Little's, and I don't know what they called it, but it was this swing kind of a system. It was almost like a ski machine, but instead of a cross-country skiing machine, whatever those are called, the pedals swing. And so your feet, you go back and forth, and you can do a real long step or a small step, but it stretches your legs. But basically, there's a fulcrum, and it's kind of like a swing, or your feet are on two little swings, and they go back and forth almost like cross-country skis. And that was his breakthrough technology, as they like to refer to these things. And I saw two shows on the same day on Sunday morning that both said they had breakthrough technology. And so Tony Little's now out with a new one, and it's called the Rock and Roll Machine or something. And it's just a little curved thing, like a half of a circle. And you sit on both sides. It's like a stair stepper, but you put your feet on either side of it. And when you raise your foot up, you can't take it all the way off or you'd fall. When you take your weight off one foot, the other side goes down and vice versa. And so people step back and forth on this without taking your foot completely up, and it rocks back and forth. And he talked about how it works the insides of your thighs muscles and the outside of your thigh muscles and all of this. But this is the third generation of breakthroughs that I've seen Tony Little pushing in terms of getting people fit. And whether it's Billy Banks or it's Tony Little, it's amazing to me that people spend money on all this stuff, because there are only two things you need to know about getting fit. And I ought to know, because I've struggled with getting fit a good part of my life. But watch how many calories you take in and figure out how many calories you burn. We all burn a certain amount per day just sitting on our butts. And we take in a certain amount per day. If you cut down your caloric intake and you burn more calories, that means get exercise and get your metabolism going too, you will lose weight. And it's that simple. But we all want the magic fix. So we all go out and we try this diet or we try that diet, and somebody's all going to eliminate carbs, and other people are on a high carb diet, and just eat one thing, just eat fruits all day long, as though there's some secret that'll have you lose weight. No, if you look at America, what's happened is our portions have gotten bigger, we eat more fatty foods, and we take in many more calories than we used to. We eat fewer vegetables and fruits than we used to, and we've gotten fatter. So it's a pretty simple fix, but Billy Banks is cleaning up in Japan. Let's see. Speaking of the Orient, I'm going to save Burma for later. I don't have the heart to cover that. I guess I'll just say a couple things briefly about Burma and about Darfur. And hang with me, because I know these are depressing subjects. So if you haven't followed this, the junta, the ruling party in Burma, has been cracking down. Now, the protests against the military rule government have been led by monks. Buddhist monks are revered in Burma, and there were hundreds of them marching, thousands of them marching, leading crowds as large of 100,000 people until a couple weeks ago, and the government decided to crack down. So what they've done is they've raided the monasteries at night, and there have been some pretty bloody attacks apparently in the monasteries, and they've wiped out some of these monks who have led the protests, and they've carted others off. So the monks aren't out on the streets leading the people anymore, and then the 10,000 people that dared to show up anyway were routed. So the Burmese government is cracking down. Now, keep in mind, here in the U.S. and in many countries, we still call it Burma. The ruling junta renamed it Myanmar in 1989, was it, or 99? 89, I guess. But we haven't made the switch because we don't see the legitimacy of the government that rules Burma today. Anyway, the one country that could do something about this is China. And China trades heavily. They trade more than $2 billion a year with Burma, and they sell Burma most of its weapons. Plus, China's no stranger to repression, so they're not particularly interested in stopping a crackdown on dissent. It's unclear what they're doing in the back channels, but clearly they have blocked a UN resolution that the US and the Europeans wanted to pass for sanctions, and the Burmese military leadership have ignored the West pretty much, and they can afford to. We're not trading much with them anyway. So I don't know if anything will get done there, but that's an area that needs more concern. And to its credit, the Bush administration has taken a stand, a fairly strong stand, about Burma, one of the few that it's taken in countries that don't have oil. Another one where Bush has talked the talk but not walked the walk is Darfur. But we may have a breakthrough here. It's not a good breakthrough, but rebels in Sudan killed 10 UN peacekeepers. Now, these are part of the African Union group. I guess they're not technically UN peacekeepers. They're there as part of the African Union. And 1,000 rebels stormed this small African Union base and killed at least 10, and there's another 24 or so missing. Now, these are essentially peacekeepers, and the United Nations has not sent in troops to Darfur, in part because the Sudan government refuses to allow it, and China is one of the countries standing in the way. Sudan has oil, and it's selling it to certain countries, and they're not willing to disrupt that. But the UN has come close to sending peacekeepers, and of course the U.S. declared this a genocide, I think it's almost 3 years ago now, and yet we aren't taking action. And as in the same way that Bill Clinton looks back and is essentially ashamed that he didn't take action when the massacres, the ethnic cleansing was going on between the Hutus and the Tutsis. I get them confused, but another African genocide. same thing here. We're going to look back on this and say, why did we drag our feet, meaning the U.S., the United Nations, and the world, why did we drag our feet for 5 years as hundreds of thousands of people were being killed and displaced? Anyway, I'm sorry that it's not a happier note, but that is the way it is. And let's see, I've got a few more pieces of news we'll come back to here. But moving on to domestic politics, Newt Gingrich has decided that he's not going to run for president. You know, he didn't have a chance anyway, but he didn't really realize it, I don't think. Or maybe he did, and that's why he's not running. But I don't have to say too much more about Newt than that. I guess we'll leave it at that. And we will take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to move on to, a couple of legal things that are in the news and a little bit more in the world of domestic politics.